Want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dante, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window, tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for what blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome, everybody, and you are listening to the Common Sense Show. I am your host, Dave Hodges, and we have a really exciting show for you tonight. In the first hour, we're going to be joined by Daniel Brinkman, who is the owner of Numana Food. And we have, you know, advertised the heck out of them because of the perilous times we live in. And we're going to get Daniel's perspective on food preparation, food storage. We're going to talk about the election. It's going to be an interesting hour. In the second hour, we're going to be joined by my old friend Virginia Farver from Fort Collins, Colorado, or where I like to say the People's Republic of Larimer County. And we're going to be talking about new findings about how all of us are being put under attack, how should I say this, electromagnetically? It's bad, folks. It's a depopulation scheme, and she's got every T crossed and every I dotted. So you're not going to want to miss the second hour, and we're going to talk also about what you can do about it. In the third hour, Katie and I are going to talk about our health maladies. Really? Feel like you just dropped into a bridge game with four 90-year-old people when I said that? Well, not exactly. Katie is almost out of the woods. Not quite. But there are those that don't want her to talk about her success. And yours truly has had his health crisis going on here for, well, probably some time, but really intensified about 10 days ago. And I started taking products from Dr. Ted and Health Masters, and there are people that don't want me to talk about why I've sworn off mainstream medicine. And I think there's something for all of us to learn in the third hour from our revelations. You're not going to want to miss this, folks, because we're going to talk about what we did, how it's working or how it worked, but we're also going to be getting very much into how the bad guys are trying to cover it all up and silence us at the same time, and that's not going to happen. Well, we always come to you live at this time every Sunday evening from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. West Coast time and 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. East Coast time. And as always, our first hour is brought to you by Steve Quayle and Renaissance Precious Metals. Convert your soon-to-be worthless cash to gold, to silver. Call Steve tomorrow to find out how to do this. 406-586-4842. Also, our other sponsor, and will be very timely to our interview, is numana.com/Hodges. Everything you need in food storage, food preparation for the dire times that could lie ahead. Well, how do you do it? Well, you just go to that website, and everything that we have to offer is there, and we'll be unfolding this as we go through the first hour. Well, it's my pleasure to have Daniel Brinkman on. He's no stranger to our loyal following audience. He's been on a couple of times before, and we're going to explore the topics we talked about, so let's get right down to it. Daniel, welcome to the show.
Oh, my pleasure. It's always good to be on your show, Dave. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a 40-year-old reliever coming out of the bullpen. I've got to get rid of the cobwebs here so I can get the final out in the ninth inning. But in case I don't, I've always got the closer behind me, Katie Whalen. So, Katie, stay ready, because I haven't said this many words that consistently probably in about 2 weeks. Okay, so anyway, Daniel, let's get down to things. The BDI index, the Baltic Dry Index, which is the very best measure in the world of how product is moving. It's a direct and indirect measure of the global economy. It's at an all-time low, and it's stayed at an all-time low since last October. And we see all these artificial means pumping up the stock market, the Fed's playing their games to keep the dollar afloat. If any one of these goes south, food distribution in the mainstream, you know, your local supermarkets, that's going to come to a close for a while, isn't it?
Well, I think there's no question that we talked about this last time, and I don't like to be a doomsayer, but look, it's right in front of our face. There's never been so much pressure on the just-in-time type shipping that we have in this country, the supply line, the food supply line, with the droughts, with all the things that you mentioned. I've never seen as much pressure on our basic food supply, basic water supply, all these things that that are really the most valuable things to us physically. I've never seen so much pressure.
Well, I agree with you, and it's not a matter that all of them have to go down. Excuse me. In reality, only one of them has to go down. One of the things I used to talk about, Daniel, to people when I said this day might come, and I'm going to quote my friend Steve Quayle here, who said this on this show a couple of months ago, we're no longer writing and talking about things that are coming. The things that are coming are already here. And one of the things I used to talk about was, hey, when it goes south, you're going to have about 3 days to get to your store. I don't think that's true any longer. What do you think? How long will it be till the shelves are empty?
Well, I don't know if this is good or bad. I don't know how to say this, but what just happened or what is happening in Venezuela is really a good chance for us to look at what happens when things start to go south. You know, unfortunately for the people of Venezuela, but fortunately for us, separated from it, we can look with some, you know, some goggles on this and really see. I don't have to speculate. You don't have to speculate. Within hours, when supplies, you know, there's a little bit of unrest, and then literally within hours, stores are wiped out, and their supply line is down. As soon as there's any disruption like that, the Walmart truck's not running to your store. Your local grocery store will not have bread on it. I mean, that's not me speculating or trying to be negative. That's the fact that we've seen over and over again in any kind of crisis. So pay close attention to what's happening in Venezuela, what has happened in Venezuela, and it's not speculation. It's right in front of us.
Yeah, you're right, and you're right. In fact, one of the things that I read about Venezuela, and this happened in Argentina when they had their banking crisis back in the 70s, they set up like these mini portable scoreboards that you see at Little League athletic events, and they were changing the prices by the moment. I don't know if you heard about that or not.
Yes, I don't know if it was Argentina one country that was going through this. It was the famous line is that when people go to eat, they pay for their meal ahead of time as inflation starts to hit, because if they wait to the end of the meal, it would cost more.
Wow, that's a frightening thought. And this is what I tell my listening audience on a consistent basis. I do no advertising for companies that don't directly impact my audience in the areas in which I think they can most likely be potentially affected. In fact, I turned down two quality advertisers this week for just that reason. Nothing wrong with the companies, nothing wrong with the people, but I am very, very, very picky because I have a mission. My mission is not to make money from every advertiser that comes to the door. My mission is to help my audience and to give people opportunities to improve their survival. And I've been telling people for a long time that you better get storable food, you better get storable water. How much do you think people should be storing?
Food, you know, that's kind of, everybody, it's a personal decision, and everybody needs to evaluate their own situation. But I think what I could do is give people maybe a different perspective to evaluate that situation. There's no question. I mean, to me, absolute basic. You bet. I mean, this is like bare minimum. You should have a month's worth of food in your house that you know how to use, that is can be used in a variety of situations. I mean, that's absolute minimum. If Now, if you were to go up from there, me personally, my family, we have, you know, much larger. We have over a year for our family. You know, that may be, you know, a big chunk for people to take out for themselves. But look, start with a month. If you go in from zero, I would suggest make a goal and start with a month. For 30 days, I am going to be self-sufficient on food and water for 30 days. That's going to be my goal. And from there, work up to 3 months, 6 months, and then a year. That's how I would do it.
Well, I tell people, I think a year minimum, and I think 2 years to be safe, and then you better have seeds on the backside of that. By the way, what kind of seeds would you recommend? And I've never asked that question to anybody on the air. And it's something that I need to start giving some thought to very quickly.
Well, you definitely want, obviously, seeds that reproduce. If everybody, you know, if they know the difference between genetically modified seeds and then they're called heirloom seeds. They're called heirloom seeds because they can reproduce and pass down. Mm-hmm. I mean, farmers used to, a big part of what a farmer used to do is take their cornfield and take some of the corn and then gather seeds from that corn from that year for next year. Well, a lot of these GMO seeds, one of the biggest things, Monsanto, one of the biggest evils, you know, not to mention the glyphosate, and let's not even talk about that, is that these seeds do not reproduce. They can only use one time. They have a terminator gene in them, and they will not reproduce. Well, you want to definitely find seeds that are heirloom. Now, some hybrid seed is different than a GMO seed, just so you know. A hybrid is a natural cross-pollination of two varieties of corn, for instance, or, you know, sometimes flowers will do that. You'll hear a lot about hybrid flowers. But it's kind of man forcing a natural process. GMO is just a flat-out science experiment on your food. So some of the hybrid seeds can reproduce. All the heirloom seeds can reproduce. And then you want to think about basic foods. Think about where you live, what grows well where you live, and, a big staple is corn. I tell everybody, look, corn has been hugely hit by the GMO process. It's almost in every food that we have, corn is, and corn is used for everything. It can be used for so many things. So among the several other things that people should consider, definitely consider some type of heirloom corn seed. You wouldn't have no idea how valuable that might be in the future.
Well, that advice just made my health advisor, Katie Whalen, happy because, in fact, Dr. Ted Brower told me in the midst of my crisis, he said, hey, stay away from all corn. Every bit of it, I think, except what you're talking about here, and it gives people a safe alternative. Do you think people, and this is a practical question, it's strictly opinion, do you think people should find places to hide their food?
I think I've talked about this to people that they ask me, and I tell them, why not?
That's a safe answer.
Why wouldn't you? I like to give people options and possibilities, and I give my recommendations. There's new quote-unquote law. I use the word laws loosely. There's new quote-unquote laws, you know, basically government dictates, edicts, statutes, whatever have you call you, whatever you would call them, that talk about how hoarding food, quote-unquote, is illegal. You having a stash of food is illegal, and that the government has the ability to take those in times of emergency. Well, that's on the books, so to speak. If that's on the books and the government says that that's kind of their intention or kind of what they're looking to, why wouldn't I consider some kind of contingency plan against that? That's how I look at it. And so I would say, to answer your question, I would say, why not? Why wouldn't you?
I think it'd be the prudent thing to do.
Well, if you're talking about survival, you're talking about just preparation, just planning. If you look at the world and you feel like, you know, there's something not quite right, we're going into uncharted territories, there's a lot of uncertainty. If you see that in the world, then it's just smart for you to have contingency plans. So, I mean, that's not crazy. That's not end of the world. That's just, hey, you know what? I'm going to have some contingency plans. If you're in the military has contingency plans for all kinds of situations. So in some kind of emergency, in some kind of thing, the military is not going to be there for you, more than likely. You are your contingency plan. So you need to think that through the family. It can kind of be a fun little activity. You don't have to be extreme about it or crazy about it or over the top about it. Hey, just think about some, here's some plans that we can do, and here's some smart things that we can do to just help us.
Yeah, I agree. That's very, very wise advice. Well, what about food packages? I mean, pretty soon people will start to categorize and divide their food according to their needs. And so let's talk a little bit about food packages.
Well, Numana Food, and this is anybody who's thinking about their food and water is going to be your key to long-term, any kind of, mm-hmm. even, you know, to say the price of food gets exorbitant. Say this inflation really starts hitting, or even stagflation or deflation, where there's no money, and food is going to become the most valuable commodity, or one of food and water. You have to be able to live off of what you can get your hands on, what you can store. So you got to think from that mentality. That's why when we created Numana, we came up with Numana, our family started this, that was our goal. You know, I want long-term storable food that is flexible, that tastes good, that's easy to fix, that can be used in a lot of variety of situations. So to me, obviously I, you know, am the founder of Numana, so I have some sort of bias, but our backbone of our food stores is Numana Easy Fix Meals. These are meals individually packaged, 6 to 10 servings in a package, resealable top. Just boil water, and then you can make a meal like pasta primavera, black bean soup. I mean, things that you're used to now, macaroni and cheese, comfort foods your kids will like. We have Defender packs with different nutrition. That, to me, is the backbone of your food stores. Now, with those, you add things like staples, rice, beans, just very bland staple things, salt, sugar, oils, things that you can store and just add and kind of expand. But to me, the central part of my food storage is in the Mana Storable Food, the Defender packs and the Family packs, just because they're people are used to eating this type of food now. You know, people in emergency, they talk like, oh, if I'm starving, I'll eat anything. That's true, and it's not true. You know, history tells us a lot of people during the potato famine, they starved even though there was potatoes there. They had what's called taste exhaustion. And if you have a choice now, and you're looking at planning for more than just some kind of disaster or type emergency. Let's say some kind of war or civil unrest. Let's put that aside for a second. Let's say if you're thinking about, hey, the price of food is really high. I don't know if we can afford food this month. I'm going to have to rely on my food store to get us through this month. Even just that. So you got to start thinking of food more than just if I'm starving, I'll eat anything. You need to think of it as part of your life. This is part of our kind of a root cellar mentality. Mm-hmm. In America, generations past, my great-grandma had a root cellar. You know, that was just part of what she did. Well, Numana is a modern-day root cellar. It's a modern-day lifeline for all those type things.
Yeah, really. You know, something occurred to me when you were explaining about the food and what you want to go with it, is if we were ever hit by an EMP attack, heating some of this would be a problem. Do you recommend people get one of those little small solar ovens?
I think any kind of alternative energy source, I think, is good. Let me make a caveat with that. This is why I'm so high. I mean, really, obviously, I'm from Numana. This is why I recommend Numana so much, because it's so simple. Anybody can do it. They know exactly how to use it. Whatever kind of things you get with it, say that solar oven, love the solar oven, seen the solar oven, have used the solar oven. Okay, so if you're going to have a solar oven, you have to be able to say the same thing. I know how to use it. I've used it. I can make it part of my thing. We can go out this weekend and or go on a camping situation that we practice with it. My family likes it, and I'm comfortable using it. This should be part of what you're doing. Any kind of alternative fuel source, rocket stoves, the solar oven, all those things are extremely beneficial in the situation that you're talking about. And EMP, I mean, you're talking... you don't need a year's supply of food. You probably need 2 years to get a supply of food like you said.
Yeah, and lots of buckshot. But yeah, because that happens, and Katie bar the door. But I was just thinking about what you can use to heat, and my late friend Bill Pollack, who did a lot of contract work for the CIA, he asked me one day. He said, "Dave, you got your food?" I got my food, Bill. "Dave, you got your water?" "I got my water." "You got your alternative medicine and medicines?" And yeah, we think we need. And although you never can be too competent in that, then he said, "Do you have your solar oven?" And I said, "Why would I want a solar oven?" He goes, "If you want to heat any water," he said, "you need a solar oven." He said, "If you ever have to do a little minor surgery or stitch somebody up, you need a solar oven so you can heat that water." And I never thought about that. And I thought, yeah, and I think this would go hand in glove with what you're doing. Although I don't think that Numana offers that, do they?
We don't have solar ovens. We highly recommend what you're saying, and highly recommend a rocket-type stove, which will burn any kind of flammable material. Those are exceptional and work really well for a variety of uses.
Before we move into other things we're going to talk about, I wanted to mention to you, too, you didn't mention this, but the old grab-and-go, I love that product. And the reason I love that product is if you got enemy tanks 6 miles away and you just got notification and you got to get the heck out of Dodge, what a great system to take with you so at least you can get through the immediate crisis.
Yes. That's one of the things, the flexibility of our food. You just hit on it. The ability to, our food comes in a bucket. I should have explained that. The individual meals that I talked about, they come in buckets with a handle, square, nice buckets, can be used for a variety of things. And it's light enough, you can just take it and go. The grab and go is really convenient for that. And even the other buckets, they're a little heavier, but they have that handle and easy to go.
Okay. Very good. And I talk about Numana quite a bit because I think it's the best storage out there. And certainly not the only good one. I mean, there's a lot of reputable dealers out there. But I just love what Numana does. And I just wanted to bring some of these products to light for audience. But I want to move into another area because you do this because of disaster preparedness. I mean, it's real obvious whether it's a tsunami, a hurricane, a military invasion, whatever it would be, this is disaster preparation, and I think we're in disaster mode right now. Maybe I'm being a little too much hyperbole, but let me make this statement, Daniel, and have you respond to it. The America that I lived in, let's go back to, say, August of September of 2015, so 9-10 months ago, is a lot different than the America we see today. The whole tone, the mood, and the spirit of the country has changed.
Yes, I think there's no question. You can see some type of underbelly, for lack of a better word, kind of rearing its head. Kind of the worm is kind of turning a little bit, isn't it?
Right.
Or it feels like it is. It's a little I won't say disheartening, but it certainly brings you to your attention.
Well, 10 months ago, the corporations, without the knowledge of 99% or 95% of the population, were financially raping people through the free trade agreements. We've all known about the illegal immigration issue, but some of the details were not known. Excuse me. And then, of course, we've got the refugee resettlement program of unscreened Muslims, of which the FBI says 10% of them will probably become terrorists or are terrorists. They're coming into the country by the thousands, soon to be the hundreds of thousands. We're not even accurately reporting numbers from the government. We have moved into a time now where people were blissfully ignorant of most of these things. And now, Daniel, Donald Trump has awakened many in this country. What effect do you think he's having, and where do you see all this going?
Donald Trump, to me, there's two parts to him. Both of them are equally huge, or huge, as he would say, right? Huge. one, Donald Trump and the movement, or Donald Trump the symbol. Donald Trump, his candidacy is more than about a man and a person and the individual that he is. He is a symbol. He is a manifestation, if you will. If I'm not trying to get too metaphysical, let me explain. His candidacy and his success is so unbelievably positive for this country and for the information that we're trying to get out, that you have been fighting for so long, and shows exactly like you and is standing on the front line and putting this information out. He is so, for years, the quote-unquote alternative media has been pushing and fighting and clawing and sacrificing to awaken, to get information out, to beg, borrow, steal, whatever word you want to use, to let people know what's going on in this country. All these things for years have been poo-pooed, have been belittled, have been undermined in some way, or marginalized. Donald Trump, within a year's time, has taken all that energy and brought it right to the forefront of the American lexicon, to where even the mainstream media, which you have talked about for years, has no other choice but to discuss some of these topics that you just mentioned, the immigration, the trade agreements, all these things. Right out in the open, they are discussing that America's industry has been raped by our traitorous Congress. I mean, right out in the open. It is such a positive sign that he is having success. Now, the second part of this, him personally and his candidacy and who he is. I don't know him personally. Obviously, he comes across genuine. He comes across real. I think that's a big part of his, whether he is or not. I don't know. I don't know him. So what he will do when he actually becomes president, it's kind of a wild card. It's kind of an unknown. But we're dealing what we've dealt with to this point. How can it be any worse? And he's the only candidate to support. So overall, this is one of the most positive things we have seen in America for decades, that he is having success. The mainstream media at every turn has tried to derail him by hook, crook, or line and sinker, or any way they can. And he has, every time the mainstream media tells the people not to vote for him for a certain reason, it just makes him more popular. The people of America, a big body of them, do not trust the media anymore. They see that America is being raped. And they want to, maybe I shouldn't use that term. I don't know what other term to use, such a forceful term, but what has happened to us? This is not a casual fleecing. This isn't a pickpocket situation. This is, we've been beat over the head in some dark alley and left for dead and everything stolen from us. I mean, that's what's been going on with our country. And Donald Trump is pointing this out, and American people say, yes, I believe that. Yes, this needs to change. Yes. It's extremely positive. No matter what you think of Donald Trump personally, if you're a patriot, it really doesn't matter. He is throwing haymakers at the establishment in the New World Order right now, and landing.
Well, Bobby Kennedy was killed for far less. Why is Donald Trump still alive?
Good question. I've thought that often myself. I don't know. He probably has a lot of information. He probably has a lot, a lot more than what they than what he puts on TV. He probably knows where the bodies are buried. I don't know. And I think America's awake to that. I don't know. It's a good question. But like I said, there's two parts to this, and there's a real big unknown. And you just brought up, I don't know. But what America is rallying to, and what America is saying, I don't believe the mainstream media anymore. You've lied to us too long. I don't trust the politicians. I don't trust our Congress. That's what his candidacy means to me right now. All those other things, it's a total unknown. I really don't know.
And I think because he's got to work with them, he's never said this, but the unspoken truth about Donald Trump in Congress is this. The reason he's opposed by both sides of the aisle is, who do you think supports these congressmen in their campaign reelections? It's the very corporations that are raping this country and the free trade agreements and encouraging illegal immigration to undermine our lower class.
No question. It's a delicate balance, isn't it? Or it's a real delicate ballet he's performing right here. And if he is legitimate and if he is really sincere with what he's doing, very interesting. I don't have the answer. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, but it's baffling, and I've actually written an article about this, about Plan B. Here's one thing that scared me. Yeah, and I do mean legitimately sent chills through my bones. After Trump won, I think it was in Indiana, I'm watching Fox and their report because I like to watch them wallow in their own bullcrap. they had no answer, of course, because he just stomped the heck out of Cruz. And then it was, this is Megyn Kelly. Here comes Donald Trump with his wonderful family, his lovely children who are so well-mannered and so successful. And look at the wife. She's so pretty. And I'm going, this is Megyn Kelly? After all the stuff that she has thrown at the Trumps? And then Brett Baer, he's got to be the presumptive nominee now. And then later in the broadcast, they interviewed the RNC top officials, and they went from the people don't decide, we do, to, Donald Trump, we need to get behind him. And clearly the people are behind him, we're behind him, and we need to defeat Hillary Clinton. And I'm thinking, this all happened in one day. Someone flipped a switch in there, and they went to Plan B. Like, we can't stop him going into the convention, so we have to go to another plan. What do you, other than assassinating him, and that's the obvious answer, what else do you think they can do to undermine him to keep his agenda from coming to fruition?
Well, you know, a couple things immediately come to mind. I'm sure you've thought about this, and, you know, I haven't listened to all your broadcasts. You probably talked about this. One, the most... It would be the most disturbing to me is they can co-opt him. You know, they can, it's pretty apparent that Donald Trump has an ego, right? so there may be,
He has a lot of confidence, okay?
Yeah, he has a lot of confidence. You know, and then, and one aspect that could be good, and you want him to, drive your agenda or drive these policies and not care who's getting in his way. You know, he's fighting for the American people. That's one way to look at it. The other is, you know, I think he can be, I don't want to say bought, because I don't think he can be bought. I think he can be flattered. I think he can be cajoled. I think he can be, they've tried the horse whip, and the horse whip hasn't worked on him. Now that they may try sugar. You know, let's try sugar with Donald Trump. So they start to co-opt him and try to buddy up to him, and then try to spin steer, kind of like the Tea Party, take all the energy and then steer it somewhere else. That would be one of my fears. That's if he goes forward and gets elected. The second, the Democratic election machine is just that, a machine. I mean, Hillary Clinton is standing on a rocket ship of election power. The Democratic Party, the election machine that she's involved in, there's no question, just looking at it from logistically, that the Democratic election machine has far surpassed the Republican, the RNC, in efficiency over the last, 10, 20 years, and has become really a juggernaut. She already has billions, not millions, billions of dollars at her disposal ready for this election. She already has the voter registration, the voter, all that infrastructure, all the buses to carry all the illegals to the polls to vote, everything is in place for her. So that's something that they can do to stop her, or stop Trump. This is a daunting task. It's extremely improbable him even getting to this point that he's gotten. Right? It's a miracle.
I wouldn't have predicted it. Yeah, you're right. No, I wouldn't have thought this.
I mean, it'd be like putting all your money on 7 on the roulette wheel, Come on, 7. I mean, that's about the same odds if you look back 2 years ago, right? So, I think that's how they stop him. Two, he has a three, he has a tendency to run his mouth a little bit, right? Or say some things. You know, and when, as a patriot and as somebody who is tired of us being screwed around, that's one of the things that endears you to him, right? He'll say to the reporter, you know, the reporter asks, well, is this what we have to expect from a Trump presidency? Yeah, yeah, it is, actually, yeah. When you guys are so dishonest and so, you know, whatever, it's, you know, not all of you are dishonest, just most of you. You know, stuff like that. I mean, what politician says that? So they may try to catch him in a situation where he'll say something, say the wrong thing. And it's such a, you can already see the mind control kind of arguments that Hillary's trying to make. You know, we're stronger together than apart. We're this divisive things, talking about these words and these concepts don't even make sense. They're just some feel-based, touchy-feely, tree-hugger type things. So I could see Trump giving them the ammunition to put them over top. This is as much momentum, I have said for a long time, a straight-up election, I think that Hillary Clinton has zero chance to beat Donald Trump. Zero. I think she has no chance whatsoever. But we're not living in a straight-up world, are we?
No, I would say that she has an electronic voting machine chance of beating Donald Trump.
I didn't want to go there, but since you did, yes.
Well, let's call it what it is. I mean, look at, I've posted video testimony of people who have admitted before Congress that they have rigged elections in the past and they gave testimony for immunity. So don't tell me out there that this doesn't go on and can't happen and couldn't happen on a massive scale with Clinton's money. Daniel, were you aware that she is selling uranium directly to Putin and the Russians? And were you aware of that?
Yes, I've heard that, and I haven't seen all the evidence on that, but yes, I've heard that, and it doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah, I'm going to toot my own horn here for a second. Last April, the New York Times ran an article on it, and boy, did it disappear quickly. But I saw this, and I go, wow. And Bill's getting $500,000 a speech in Moscow, and gee, we executed the Rosenbergs for giving secrets, and she's selling the raw material. And I'm thinking, and I said, she deserves the fate of the Rosenbergs. And, you know, it was like crickets chirping. No one cared. I mean, this woman, and it wasn't Dave Hodges that broke the story, although I've looked into it, and I've expanded it even further from my research. But Daniel, she's guilty of absolute executable treason.
See, this is why, you know, I speak to your audience for a second directly on a little different vein. This is why it's so important to support Dave Hodges and support Dave's show. Because how many people, there's a certain number of shows throughout the country that I value for this type of information, what they put out. And Dave's show is one of them. That's one of the reasons we're involved with Dave and his Common Sense show. I mean, do you think it's, do you think it's politically correct that a man has aligned himself with a show like yours, Dave? No, it's not. I'm kissing your butt a little bit here, but how lucky you are as an audience to have somebody who's been able to put out this information.
Yeah, my mom paid Daniel to say that. Thank you, Daniel. But
you're welcome.
But, you know, and I want to throw something out here, too, that I just think, how can anyone in their right mind vote for this woman? Because it's out there.
Let me interrupt you real quick. Don't you think one of the most unbelievable things about Trump is he's not where other politicians would not talk about some of these subjects, they treated them as taboo. He's, like, directly interfaced with them. I mean, that's one of the most amazing things. I don't hesitate for a second to say he's probably got them all lined up exactly how he's going to let them out, and he is going to shove that Clinton Foundation right in her face.
Yeah, it's definitely nasty, and honestly, you know, do I want to sit here and say honestly I want to see Hillary Clinton be hung by her neck until she's dead? No, that's not the kind of human being I am. I don't advocate for violence. But I'm saying in the American jurisprudence system,
You know, if we compare apples to apples, not apples to oranges, Hillary Clinton's guilty of far more worse than what Ethel Rosenberg did, and they electrocuted her. And it just absolutely mind-boggles me. You know, it was, we throw this on the table, too, because, you know, this show is going to get circulated way beyond our archives, as it always does. I had an Italian firm that wanted to buy this website, by the way, and they said, this is what we'll pay you, and I said, I'm not really interested in quitting, and they go, oh, no, you can still write, and I'm thinking, yeah, that's the way you get control, just ask Art Bell when he is with Coast to Coast, and I said, I don't think so, but they told me in that, they said, do you know how far wide your archives go from your radio show? That they get duplicated in other forms and blah. And they said that from the website and the archives that over 2 million people have contact with the Common Sense Show in one form or another, excuse me, every month. And so I want to bring this out here, knowing that this is going to really reach quite a few Americans. And Daniel, I don't know if you know this, Aaron Klein sent this out, and he sent it to a few of us. And it was, I think it was 6 emails, I've printed it on the website, where Hillary Clinton, in this email scandal on her private server, she was broadcasting the location of Ambassador Chris Stevens.
Oh my gosh.
How are you not an accomplice to murder when you do this?
Oh, that's sick.
This is incredible. And he got him before they shut off the FOIA. He went in and got this on FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, and then they shut off the FOIA. But he had, by my count, about 6. He had a bunch of other good stuff, too. But this is what caught my attention. I published this, and I didn't publish it once. I published it in 2 different articles. And you never hear Donald Trump talk about this. He doesn't talk about Uranium One and what they have done illegally with the Russians, who were virtually in a state of Cold War with now. How can Trump ignore this, number one? And number two, how can we be so blissfully ignorant?
Well, I think, the optimist in me wants to say he's got a, you know, he's pretty media savvy. Let's just put that out there. And he's pretty Twitter savvy, social media savvy. It mm-hmm. seems like the first wave of attack that he put on her was about all the Bill Clinton rapes, the Bill Clinton mistreatment, and how she destroyed the lives of some of these women and tried to discredit them, the lengths that she went to. That, to me, that seems like the first wave to the optimist wants to say that he has a plan. It's early. You know, as time goes by, as he gets closer to the election, you know, to me, what you said are some real aces in the hole, right, that he doesn't want to throw out there just quite yet. That's the optimist. The other side of the coin is that he's avoiding that for some spurless reason or some, you know, to get on the good side of Russia or what. I don't know. But he seems to show a willingness to be pretty aggressive with her. And as time goes on, I would not be surprised if these things are brought up. But, you know, he's also, his audience is also the whole of America. It's not the people who listen to your show, right? It's the whole of America. So trying to make this big jump, it's almost like he's leading America down this path of what a corrupt situation we're dealing with, and what a disaster her thing would be. So hopefully that's what it is. Hopefully he's leading us down that to that revelation.
Well, I think that's a reasonable answer. I mean, I've satisfied myself in another area that he doesn't talk about. And in these free trade agreements that, you know, destroy our jobs and our industries here and then send the labor overseas, what they don't talk about and what's been well publicized, I mean, this is nothing that I got to say, gee, I discovered. I did not discover this. A lot of people have talked about this, is that a lot of this labor in these horrible third world countries, horrible conditions, they're tied to child sex trafficking. Yeah, and you know, so therefore, these corporations that engage in this behavior, Ford, Nabisco, you know, you may not know it. I can't see how you don't,
But they're participating in really the darkest side of humanity that exists. And I'm disappointed that Trump has not brought this up.
Well, again, I think there's a, you know, would you go into some random audience, some room, and start throwing that stuff out there? No, you got to lead people down a path to that. You can't just put that, because then that's a real careful line. It blows back on you, and you look like the idiot.
It's chapter 13. And we need to get to chapter 13 pretty quickly. Maybe we get to it after the convention. What do you think the odds are that Trump comes out of the convention? And that could be a war zone into itself, another story here. But if he comes out of the convention with momentum and some party unity, what do you think? Have you thought about the odds of a false flag event derailing the election and Obama stays in power?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I think there is a awakening like we haven't seen. You know, movements reach a peak, right? It looks like nothing's going on. And then, boom, there's a huge spike of momentum, and it becomes a thing unto itself. And I think the information war, for lack of a better word, that you've been involved in, and so many other people, has reached a critical mass. And that genie's not going back in the bottle for millions of people. There are millions of Americans who believe, you know, 90-95% of what you talk about already. Millions. And that genie is not going back in the bottle. So, what does that mean for the quote-unquote establishment, the quote-unquote, you know, people who have run things? Well, they're looking at, they think, well, it's just like with Trump. They thought, well, we'll just put our attack dogs on him, and we'll get that media on him, and he'll just go right away, and this won't be any problem. It didn't work. None of it worked. It's almost like he's immune to it. He's got the establishment immunity to their protocol. So, that's plan A. Plan A didn't work. Plan B didn't work. Well, now I don't think there's nothing that's not on the table. But having said that, even doing that, they must know and must understand there is a major threat that they can just pop. If they did something like that, that this critical mass of awakening will turn into an explosion of an awakening. So this is one of the most amazing times to be alive and see this. This is what I mean about this Trump candidacy. All these forces are just swirling in it, and the American people, no question, are at the heart of this. The American people put Trump where he is, good, bad, or indifferent. The American people's being fed up with all the BS is where he is. So whatever the establishment does as a reaction here, they're in uncharted territories too, and this is breaking their model, and it obviously has broken their algorithms, because they didn't expect this. I don't think there's no way they expected it to come to this.
They didn't. In fact, what I've said many times, they allowed Trump to go forward without interference in the beginning because they thought he would split the Republican vote so Hillary would get in.
Yeah.
They weren't counting on what they got.
Yeah, I think there's no question. It was a kind of a joke.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I have to say this. Trump used to be affiliated with the Clintons, and I don't know how much on an intimate level, but he was. He's been affiliated with the global elite, as you would call them. That doesn't surprise me, given the fact that he's been in the higher circles of corporate America. He would rub elbows with those people. But I would vote for Trump if he was a card-carrying member of the Trilateral Commission for one reason. There are millions of Americans who are hearing a message that I heard from home from my naval intelligence father for years. And without that source, you know, these Americans would be going willfully and woefully to their depopulation grave, and in the midst of a whole lot of suffering, without even knowing what was happening to him, and that's due to Donald Trump.
No question. That's exactly how I feel. You know, from here, or why is he not talking about certain things, or what will he or won't he do? I really don't know. I can give my opinion, but it's really just a semi-educated guess. But what you just said, what you just hit on, this is one of the most important things that's happened in America the last 50 years, maybe last 100 years, honestly. America has said, we do not believe the mainstream media anymore. We know that our government has been screwing us for all these years. And now we can say without a question that that is what America now knows. That is unbelievable. That should be such an encouraging sign. That is an extremely encouraging sign.
It is most first of all, I'll say this. I have never seen a candidacy like this. I mean, if Trump would have come on the scene 20 years ago with that hair, wearing that baseball cap, believing as he does, and talking about Marco's hands, and I'll leave the this is a family show, so I'll leave the rest out of it. But if he would have done any of that, myself and the rest of America would have laughed him right out of the campaign.
Yeah.
But people have had enough, and what I've noticed too, and we still have too many of them, people that have cognitive dissonance, normalcy bias, you know, this is going on, but I can't do anything about it, so I'm just going to go about my business. He's getting to some of these people.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, in my 9 years of broadcasting, he's done more in 9 months than I have done in 9 years, and I'm not even close to him. So
right,
thank God he has been here.
But he's done that on your back, right? All the pre-work, all the preparation has been done by you, by people like you, by everybody out there who has ever told their neighbor, given them some article that you wrote or some, hey, look at this. Every person, I cannot stress this enough, every person who has ever tried to reach out and inform and put a shine of light on what's going on in America, this is vindication for you. This is the result. All these years you thought nothing was happening. That's not true. Donald Trump is a manifestation of your greatest efforts, of your greatest prayers for this country. Donald Trump's candidacy is that manifestation of what you've done all these years. And you should never think that your words or your thoughts or your deeds or your heartfelt prayers go unanswered and go into the void, because it is not true. We're on the verge of the American people putting what they perceive as an outsider in the highest office in our country. This is unbelievable and virtually unprecedented, and it is because of people like you. My hat's off to you, Dave, and everybody like you.
Well, it certainly got to be a continued collective effort. But, you know, I don't think, and I wish this wasn't true, because, like I said, I am a man of peace, unless you come into my house uninvited with bad intentions.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're getting out of this without a major fight. And the reason I say that is, put yourself in the corporate elite, the banker's position.
Sure.
They've spent decades building up these plans where they trashed the Constitution. They have overtaken Congress. They've overtaken the office of the president. They've stacked the Supreme Court with nut job cases. And now, because Donald Trump gets in and he invokes the rule of law, we're going to expect them to go away without a fight?
Sure, I completely agree with you. No question. And it's been said several times, but Ezra Taft Benson was the Secretary of Agriculture under Eisenhower, and he said, "Freedoms once lost only return with bloodshed." And that's the lesson here. We can't expect to turn back this clock without sacrificing something. Our founding fathers taught us that. I mean, we have such history and such success of doing the impossible, of overcoming the big bad monster and the boogeyman in the closet. That's in our blood. That's in our soul of this country. And I completely agree with you. But it's nothing we should fear. We should go forward with faith. You know, we have hundreds of years, if not thousands of years, of history to look back and really the greatest lesson of the American Revolution is that a people united, even a small minority who are willing to sacrifice their life for a cause of liberty, will not lose. Not only will not lose, they cannot lose. The universe will not let them lose. And people, I've heard all the things about the founding of our country, how the Illuminati was involved here in secret society. I've heard all that. There's some validity to all of it. But I believe with all my heart that there was an overriding spirit and power that brought the Constitution and Declaration of Independence to bear because of the people's willingness to sacrifice for something virtually unprecedented in millennium in this country. And we're approaching that now.
Well, 40 years ago, the Vietnamese people showed us the same thing.
Yes. Yes.
And then there were people like Martin Luther King, Muhammad Ali, and many mainstream Americans that said no to the Vietnam War. And they showed it from the inside. I agree wholeheartedly with what you're saying. Yeah, I'm wondering about something. When did situations become so dire in this country that you felt the need to set up Humana to help people?
Well, we started the company about time goes by, doesn't it? We're only here in 2016. It was about 5 years ago. And it wasn't so much a situation where we did it because of that. It was just we saw a need. We saw something for ourselves. Our family was concerned. So it really became out of our own family concern. What can we do for our family? And we saw what was on the market, and we really just said, we think we can do better. We want something better. We want some GMO-free. We don't want high fructose corn syrup, aspartame, MSG, all those things on food. So that was really the genesis more than anything. As we got into it, and then pretty quickly, we started it out of our basement. We went to shows. We started talking to people. We saw what was going on in the country, and it became very quickly much more than just a business opportunity, so to speak. We always had that fervor for our country in our heart. As we started into it, we realized that the two of those things were connected. Our desire for our country, our desire for families, preparedness. This was like something that we could do. Hey, we can produce fantastic storable food for people. I can get out here on the radio. Most of our conversation hadn't even been about food today, right? It's been about encouragement, analyzing what's going on in this country. So because of Humana, I get a chance to talk about my political beliefs and my belief in this country, my belief in every American out there, my belief in your audience, my belief in the power that God has put on each one of us and in each one of us's heart that we not only we can't lose.
I agree.
We cannot lose.
Daniel, we're out of time. We have stretched this right to the wall. But you have done a great job. I am proud to be affiliated with your great company and will continue to promote me. Remember, I'm really, really picky. Pickier than my wife was when I had to ask her to marry me twice. We got to scoot. Thanks so much, Daniel. We'll see everybody else back here in hour number two with Virginia Farber.
God bless everybody. Thanks, Dave.
You bet.